Okay, so I would also like to thank the organizers for a nice conference and for inviting me to participate in it. So this is the original title is Exponentially Large Extra Dimensions and Soft Symmetry Breaking in Fraction Participation, but I didn't have time space for the exponentially large. So, and this is work that I've been doing with Vijay Balasubramanian and Per Berglund, who are here, I hope, and Joe Conlon, who is my student, and a paper that just appeared in JHEP, and a more recent paper with Joe and my other student, Karen Cerulis, that appeared a couple of months ago. I'm sure you have seen this already many times, but I cannot just skip it because for completeness. So let me just tell you in a couple of minutes the review of the type 2B fluxion participation that led to the KKLT scenario that we are using. So you start with a Calabi-Yau oriented fold compactification of type 2B and turn on fluxes of the three forms, the Ramon-Ramon and the Nevers-Schwarz forms, and that generates the superpotential of the Lukov-Vatawita type, and where G3 is related by F3 and H3 in this way, and then the Keller potential, which has been calculated from several people, is minus 2 log of the volume, and this is the Keller moduli dependence of the Keller potential, plus the compass structure and Dirac dependence that will not be too important for us, so I will just write it like KCS. The the volume is can be written in terms of the sizes of the two cycles, which I call TI, TJ, TK, is a cubic form, and which are the Keller moduli, and this gives the volume of the with this expression, you can compute this quantity Gij, Ki, Kj, and happens to be 3, and that defines the model to be a no-scale model. So that means that there would be a flat direction. The potential is then, because of this property, is just positive definite, where now this dependence on the superpotential, dAw, dB bar W, is positive definite, and is the minimum occurs at dAw equal to 0, where A stands for the compass structure and Dirac moduli, but not the Keller moduli. So this is precisely the property of the no scale that I was referring to, so that these fields are fixed by the solutions of this equation, and but all the T's, which are the Keller moduli, are flat directions, and they are not yet fixed by the fluxes. So this is the result of given Skatchel and Porchinsky a few years back. Then the extension of KKLT is just to consider that after integrating out the compass structure and the tau moduli, you are left with a superpotential, which is a constant piece coming from the fluxes, and a non-perturbative piece in terms of the Keller moduli. In this case, rho's are the complexified Keller moduli, and that real part of the imaginary part of rho will be the size of 4 cycles, which will be related by to the size of the two cycles that I was mentioning before. So then you compute the F term part of the Keller potential, and which is looks like this in the standard supergravity, and you find that there is a minimum where this dW is equal to 0, but in this case, since this double cancels that part, so the potential will be negative at the minimum, so it's a supersymmetric ADS solution, which KKLT found. For that, I wanted to emphasize a couple of things. One is that for this to trust this, we need the value of the superpotential coming from the fluxes to be very small, and in that case, the rho modulus will be essentially for one single modulus of simplicity is just proportional to the log of W0, roughly speaking, to get rho to be larger than one. So you need W0 to be very small. And I will be more explicit on this regard because this is an important part of my talk. And then you can lift to ds to the theta space by adding an extra positive term to the potential, like either by an anti-E3 brain or by B terms that several groups have considered, or by non-ISD fluxes. And finally, I want to emphasize that in this case, this is a two-stage scenario, that you fix first the complex structure model and the Dirac-on, and then concentrate only on the Kerr modulus. But if you consider the whole potential of a two set of fields, you saw that by doing this, you find that there are often tachyonic directions. And this has been pointed out by Dennis Douglas and other people. So that's something that I would be referring to. Okay, so far it's just the standard discussion of this KKLT scenario. And I would like to emphasize now, just make a parenthesis, and talk about the importance of the corrections to the Kerr potential. So this transparency has nothing to do with the fluxes, it's just a general discussion of N equals 1 supergravity Lagrangians. But I will just to make the point. So the point is as follows. You start with the total Kerr potential, you write it as say three level one plus perturbative corrections plus non perturbative corrections. And approximately I call it a K0 plus J, where J stands for the leading corrections coming from either perturbative or mostly from perturbative corrections. And the total super potential is a three level one plus a non perturbative one. There are no perturbative corrections because of the non-normalization theory. And again, as an approximation, I take it as W0 plus the leading correction, omega. Therefore, when you compute the F term of the scalar potential, you find that it's the three-level piece plus a term depending on J, plus a term depending on omega, plus the mixed terms and so on. So I'm not saying anything new, but let me just see why this is important. So usually people say, well, V0 is the most important piece, and determines the whole structure of the potential, and Vj and V omega are just small corrections to it. So that is the standard thing. However, that's always the case if the leading correction, the leading term is non-zero, or the potential is not flat. So if there are flat directions, where dV by the field is identical to zero, then usually you have a perturbative correction dominating over a non-perturbative one, because we all know that perturbative corrections are always bigger than non-perturbative ones. And this is, as an example, is precisely the node-scale model that I was referring to before. So the node-scale model, coming from a string theory, is precisely the case where the leading part will be zero, say, and then you have to take into account that the corrections will play the important role to fix the structure of the minimum of the potentials. So I have to tell you that in the previous discussion I didn't include the corrections to the Kerr potential, but I included the corrections to the superpotential. So when is it safe to neglect this Vj? I have to say that I named Vj after one of my collaborators. when can we neglect it? We can neglect it when W is equal to zero. So when the leading correction of the field potential is zero, so then we know that the non-perturbative piece is the dominant part. So that's the starting point, because without the super potential we don't have any scalar potential. But also, as in the case of KKLT, you have probably not to have W exactly zero, but very, very, very small. How small? It's small, as small as compared to the non-perturbative piece. So that's a very unnatural thing. You have to make the leading order, the tree level, and the non-perturbative corrections to be of the same order to be able to neglect the perturbative correction. So this just emphasizes that, in general, we cannot neglect the perturbative corrections to the Kerr potentials, and they have to be important to fix the minimum. Okay, so let's see now for our case, for the Calabria complexification. There are alpha prime corrections to the Kerr potential, and they have been computed by Becker, Hack, and Louis, based on previous papers in the heterotic case for the Candelas et al. and we are going to be using that. So the corrections are, you start again, the carrier potential is the complex structure part, minus 2 times the log of the volume, but the volume now comes with this extra term. But this constant psi is proportional to minus the Euler number of the Calabi-Yau, and that's where the corrections come. So then we have here this piece, the K0, and whereas this will be the correction, this will be the J. And for the superpotential, we have the standard thing, the W0 plus the non-perturbative part, which will be omega. So having this, we can compute the scalar potential, the X term of it, and it takes this complicated form that I don't want you to memorize, just to say that, well, this is the standard thing that you get, say, in KKLT, and this will be the V omega part, and plus this term, which will be the Vj. So then the question is, when is it that V omega is greater than Vj? And so usually it's not true, and then we can see, for instance, to take a dramatic case, let's take the case of only one carrier modulus, and the string coupling to be 1 over 10, and the A, which is the coefficient of the exponential, to be 2 pi, this psi to be 0.48, which is the one that you compute for, say, for the quintic Calabi-Yau. And for that, in order to have V omega bigger than Vj, then you have that W0 has to be 10 to the minus 75. So this is extremely small. So that's that will require a lot of, say, fine-tuning in the space of possible flux superpotential that you can get. Of course, this I chose a dramatic case just to make the point that there are much better situations, but in general, what the message from here is that we cannot neglect Vj. So the concrete case that we concentrated on is a particular Calabi-Yau, which people had considered in the past, the Candelas, von Katz and Morrison, is 10 years ago or so, and then more recently, Dennis Douglas and Floria considered it in this context, in the sense that they were able to prove that you can generate non-trivial superpotential. The non-perturbative superpotentials are actually there. So this is a model with a two scalar structure model, like, and mainly complex structure, and for the, where this number psi that I mentioned that appear in the correction to the scalar potential is positive. For this example, the volume that I show in my first transparency as a function of the t's, which are the sizes of the two cycles, usually you cannot invert, you cannot write that in terms of the size of the four cycles, but in this case you can do it, and then tau 5 and tau 4 are the two scalar structure moduli at sizes of this four cycles, and so these are the real part, the imaginary part of the scalar moduli that I was calling rho. So then the superpotential takes this sum of two exponentials plus other terms, this is the leading term, and the scalar potential looks like as I was showing you before. So so this concrete example, it illustrates the main point of my talk. And when you compute the F-term potential for this model, it takes the sum of three terms. Essentially, I now write in terms of the potential in terms of 10? 15, thank you. So in terms of tau 4, and the scalar potential at large volume, and so we can find the minimum, and the minimum happens to be taking into account this term that is the crucial term. It's such that the tau 4 takes a value for bigger than 1, but not that large. And then the volume, which I'm exchanging tau phi by the volume, because these are the two, tau 4 and tau 5 related to the volume. So the volume takes a value which is proportional to W0 e to the tau 4, essentially, A4 tau 4. So that means that if tau 4 is bigger than 1, then the volume is exponentially large. That's the result we find by finding this, by adding this correlation to the carrier potential. So I can just show you. The picture of the potential, we fool a bit the computer by just plugging the log. So the, when the computer saw a negative thing in the log, just make a hole. And that's to show that at some point the potential goes to negative sign. And we know that the potential goes to zero at infinity, so that means that there is a minimum around here. So in general, you can just forget about this part, and this will be our large volume minimum. So you can find it, and it's exponentially large. And how large exponentially depends on the values of the parameters that are introduced, the A force and so on. If you start changing the superpotential W0, the flux part, it's such that if W0 say is between 1 and 10, which is the natural thing that you get from fluxes, so you only find this minimum. That's the picture. This is a very large volume. Sorry, I call these two things power 5. One is power 4. So this is power 5 and this is power 4. And so you find a very large volume minimum. If you start making the W series smaller and smaller, say the volume 10 to the minus 10, then another minimum appears, and this is precisely the KKLT minimum. So it's so you can see that the KKLT minimum appears in it's much less generic, in the sense that it only appears when you push the value of the superpotential from the fluxes to very, very small sizes, and then you can have both minima. Okay. And if you keep pushing the value of the superpotential to smaller sizes, then much smaller than 10 to the minus 11 or so, then essentially both minima merge, and so that essentially you recover the KKLT result. Okay, so the interesting thing is that from here that you get large extra dimensions. How large? As I was telling you, how large, it depends on, it's mostly the most sensitive parameter is this A4, which is the term that appears in the exponential, which is 2 pi over n, where n will be the number of colors in the gauge theory inside the D7 brain. And proportional to e to the 8-4, which is e to the 2 pi over n, and the tau 4 was proportional to 1 over gs, so essentially the volume is proportional to e to the 2 pi gs n. So gs n, this combination, is what determines how large the volume can be. So, and we know that the string scale will be determined by the Planck, the string scale will be the Planck scale divided by the square root of the volume. So for typical values of the parameters, say the string scale to be 0.1, the W0 to be of order 10, and the coefficients of the exponentials to be of order 1. So we can find that for just varying n, we can get different values of the volume. So N22, we get the volume to be 4,000, and then the string scale to be a God scale. For n being 9, the volume is 10 to the 9, and the string scale is an intermediate scale. And for n equals to 3, the volume is 10 to the 27, and we get the TEV scale. So essentially we can cover the whole range between the TEV scale and the God scale by just varying n between 3 and 20 or so. So that shows that it's very natural to have large extra dimensions. So I will flash your transparency here with all the scales that we compute. So in that sense, you have the Planck scale, the string scale, the Kaluza-Klein scale, the Garatino mass, and so on. The mass of the contour structure moduli, the mass of the dilaton, the mass of the carrier moduli, and so on. And they all fit in a nice hierarchy for each of the scales. So the God scale, intermediate scale, and TEV scale. Okay. Properties of the minimum. Properties of the minimum. So it's different from KKLT. The minimum, the ABS minimum, is already non-supersymmetric. So you break supersymmetry already from the non-perturbative effects and the fluxes. The value of the potential goes like 1 over the volume cubed. So you can see that that essentially d rho w has to be different from 0 to be a minimum. So that means that this is essentially the F10, so it breaks supersymmetry. So that's the first difference. The second difference, which I think is very important in this regard, is that it is tracking free. I told you in the first transparency that in the KKLT scenario, you have to go back and see if the potential you find it has tachyons, and usually has a lot of tachyons in the complex structure and space. And in this case, you can prove with in all generality that the minimum is actually minimum in all directions. So there are no tachyons in no tachyon directions, nor in Kahler structure, nor in the complex structure or Dirac-Lewis directions. Also, different from KKLT is that the use of the Gravettino mass, which is proportional to W0, which is depending on the fluxes, in this case, the Gravettino mass, you can prove it because the volume is proportional to W0. The Gravettino mass happens to be independent of W0. And that means that it depends very, very mildly on the fluxes. The only dependence on the fluxes is through the string coupling. Okay. So that's relevant also for when discussing statistics and so on. And the thing that is still similar to KKLT is that you can uplift to the Sitter space as they did. I have a quick transparency here on further corrections to K that I will just say, well, we consider these alpha prime corrections that people considered, and we got this result, but there are other corrections that you can consider, and we analyze, even though some of the terms are not known in general, we can only see how they scale with the volume, and they are subleading. So in that sense, our result it looks very robust, except for the possibility of local loop effects on D3 brains, and there is a paper coming by Berghack and Kors on the relevance of this correction. This result that I told you for this particular model can actually be generalized to all Calabi-Yau for which H21 is greater than H11 greater than 1. So essentially everything I told you goes through for all, say, half of the Calabi-Yau. So you always have a minimum for which one Calabi model is exponentially large, and all the other ones are large for just of order 1. So this is a very general result for many Calabi-Yau. We have what we call a Swiss cheese picture, in which we have the two moduli, tau 4 and tau 5, disappear with a negative sign in the volume. So when you make tau 4 large, the volume decreases. When you make tau 5 large, the volume increases. So it's like having a hole in the Swiss cheese. So we're trying to investigate how general this is. Yes, so I better move on because I want to talk about the soft loop breaking, and this is, I have only two more transparencies. Okay, so if you want to make any contact with the low energy physics, at some point you have to see how supersymmetry breaking is felt by the standard model field, the quarks and leptons, so and their superpartners. In the case of KKLT, first of all, there is an observation that the ABS minimum was supersymmetric. So the sole source of supersymmetry breaking was the lifting mechanism. So because even though the fluxes could have been breaking supersymmetry, once you make the full potential with an unperturbative effect, the minimum happens to be supersymmetric. So the only the lifting mechanism, which looks like a D term, is responsible for supersymmetry breaking. So that means that we have a situation where essentially it's a D term, the dominance of supersymmetry breaking. All the F terms will go to zero once the D term goes to zero. And something that is the second point about the KKLT, so far there hasn't been any simple model where you can actually compute the soft breaking terms, because of the difficulty. You start trying with the simplest case where you don't have Keller complex structure modeler, you find the problem with the tachyons and you don't find any minimum where you can expand and find the F terms. And you try to make it closer and closer to when you can find minimum, when you have more complex structure modeli, it's unbearable, so you cannot compute. Whereas here, the two differences that the ABS minimum is already non-supersymmetric, so you break supersymmetry. And also you can compute explicitly the soft breaking terms. So you have a hierarchy in the sense that the volume modulus is the one that has the F term, the larger, and then you have the other ones and so on. So you have a hierarchy of how supersymmetry, how they each F term contributes to supersymmetry breaking. So I can tell you here another transparency how you can read is that so for instance, you consider the standard model where the standard model fits on D3 brain. for each of the scales that I chose, say the God scale, intermediate, and TeV, you can compute the magnitude of the scalar masses, the Gugino masses, the A terms, and the mu terms, and B terms that people compute in Brocklet supersymmetry. And of course, they look very bad for the God scale because they look extremely large, and they look very bad for the TeV scale because they look extremely small. However, for intermediate scale, they look reasonable, and you can play a little bit with the scale. This is intermediate scale I call 10 to the 12. If it is 10 to the 13 GeV, you get the Gugino masses of order 10 to the 2 GeV, but the scalar masses of order 10 to the 7 GeV. So you can see hierarchy between Gugino masses and scalar masses, which is interesting. And also for the string scale to be larger than 10 to the 13 GeV, we don't get, on the moduli sector, you have to see the masses of all the moduli, and then there are no fit force danger of cosmological moduli problem. Also, I have to mention that the God scale case can be viable if there is warping. So, warping, then you can reduce the scale. Also, the TeV scale scenario, you can make it viable in this regard. If instead of having the standard model on D3 bank, you put it on anti-D3 bank. So, supersymmetry is already broken on the standard model sector. So let me conclude, and Rob will be happy. So we have a concrete and model-independent analysis. Concrete and specific examples where you have a minimum which is anti-de-Sitter, non-supersymmetric, and with exponentially large volume. And so that is, I consider that very interesting. I think it's the first time that we can find such large volume in a natural way within a string model. You can leak through the Sitter space. There are no tachyons, which is always a problem. And for statistics, as I say, the Gravitino mass is flux independent of them. The perturbative corrections to K are important, and then the soft Sitter breaking terms, they can be computed. Actually, this is the first time you can actually compute, because you need a way you need a stable, a real minimum to actually be able to compute soft Sitter breaking, and this hasn't been able to happen in string theory in the past. And there are many open questions that are just effects of warping, loops, and so on, and doing more phenomenology and cosmology that are completely open. Thank you.